wonderful. No heart attacks, no cancer, no sickness, no death, no dying, no separation. It's almost incomprehensible to us to think about that. We said goodbye to friends and family down through the years, through circumstances like this is. People gather together, and I told Dale up here a moment ago, I said it's kind of an honor to realize that a person, although he wasn't that old, his age, to have this many people attend his funeral. When you're old, like most of us here are, there's not too many friends left when we get to that point. But I want to talk to you about heaven. I said a moment ago that I didn't think a great deal about it early on in my life and my ministry and my salvation, but I sure do think a lot about it now. What's it going to be like? The Bible says that there will be gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold. You know, I don't know if that means exactly what it says. I think if it doesn't, I think what it means is that the things that we call precious down here are going to be building material up there. They're going to build streets with it and walls with it and gates with it. That's a great reality. Heaven is a real place. It's not a figment of my imagination or somebody else's imagination down through the years. It's a real place. God says it is. He verifies it to us. When we think about it, when we talk about it, it gets within our soul and our heart. Heaven is a real, real place. The Bible talks about Paul going to the third heaven. I thought, what does that mean? First heaven is, I think, what you can see in the daylight. The second heaven is what you can see at night. And the third heaven is what you see in faith. I hope I'm not arrogant. I know I'm not arrogant when I say this. I'm going to heaven when I die. That's a statement in fact. You can't talk me out of it. People on television and in ministry that do away with it and say it's not real, they can't talk me out of it. They can't deny me the fact that I know heaven is real. It's real. I heard a preacher, great, great preacher, an orator really, preach a sermon years ago. I heard it on tape. And he had a 5-point sermon he wrote on a napkin in his dinner table. When he got up that morning and went to the church and preached it, and he preached it all over the country. And his main point was heaven is real. It's one of his points. Heaven is righteousness. Heaven is right. It makes all things right in our life. If you've been mistreated, God will make it up to you. Believe me, if you've thought this journey as a Christian, if you are a Christian today, and you thought this journey has been tough, God will make it up to you. Heaven's going to make all things right. Heaven's going to be reunion. It's going to be a place where we together meet friends of old. I was astonished at something that I don't know that it was necessarily me that thought it first, but when the disciples saw Moses and Elijah. How did they know it was Moses and Elijah? They'd never seen him. He lived hundreds of years before they were there. And yet they knew him. And the Bible says, we will be known as we are known. I've had people down through the years of my ministry ask me, do you think we'll know each other in heaven? Yes. We'll know our loved ones. I've said this to the church. Many of you are part of this camp meeting. I've said that most of my family, my sister and I are the only two left out of 11 children. My mom and dad, of course, are gone, and my sister and I are the only two left. It would be disheartening to me to think I wouldn't know them. I miss them. And Anita, I know you miss him already. And my mother said to me after my dad died, she said, I lost my baby, her firstborn. I lost my mother. I lost my two sisters. But she said, nothing has affected me like losing your dad. I said, Mama, you and Dad slept in the same bed for 66 years. You will never get over it. You can't. But you live with it. God will give you the grace to live with it. And he did. I don't want to say something wrong here, but she was 5 years younger than him. She lived 5 years longer than him. That was the worst 5 years of her life. The worst 5 years of her life, being without Dad. But heaven is real. Mama knew it was real. She said, I can't wait to see your daddy. I said, me neither, Mommy. I can't wait to see him too. We'll all be there someday, all of us that know the Lord. So heaven is real. Heaven is right. Heaven is resplendent. Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and streets of gold. Beauty. I was watching a program on TV last night. It was out in Utah. And they showed that beautiful scenery in Utah. The red clay dirt, the mountains. I said, that's one of the prettiest things I've ever seen. Let me give you a little clue. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Meaning, you can't imagine what the Father has prepared for them that love him. What a place that's going to be. What a joy it's going to be there and see the beautiful sights. I really meant to bring the poem. I couldn't find it last night. Where the roses never fade. Have you ever heard that poem? That nothing dies there. He created heaven for us to be like it was in the Garden of Eden. Beauty beyond anything we could imagine or describe. I've seen beautiful paintings, beautiful buildings, beautiful scenery, beautiful mountains, but nothing will compare to what I'll see when I enter that place called heaven. Heaven is a real place for real people. It is a place that we all can go to if we want to. We don't have to be like some people say. Actually, there's an ad on TV right now. Are you going to heaven? Have you seen that? It's an ad, just a commercial. Are you going to heaven? A lot of people say, I think so. And the commercial ends, you can know so. And I believe that. So it's a real place for real people, resplendent in its beauty and its reunion. We're going to be together with people that we've lost again someday. I'm looking forward to that. But I honestly believe this. I'm not just saying it because it's maybe dramatic. I think my emphasis when I get there, if Mom and Dad and brothers and sisters are waiting for me at the gate, I'll say, hi, I'll be right back. I want to see him who gave everything for me. The God in heaven that gave his son in a brutal, probably the most brutal death ever, and shed his blood for our sins. And, you know, I don't know. I learned a long time ago, you can't tell by looking at people whether they're Christians or not. A lot of times you can't tell by looking at their actions or not. But God looks a lot further than our actions and our appearance. He looks into our heart. This is not just some simple invitation. It's an invitation for you, if you don't know him, to say, I'll see Rodney again. I'll see my mom and my dad again. I've said this here, and for you that have heard me, please forgive me. I'm 78 years old. My mother died 25 years ago at least. I'd love to talk to her one more time. I'd love to hear her voice one more time, just one more time. I'd love to hear it. That's not an idle thing. That's something I'd, but I wouldn't call her back from that place that she lived to go to for so many years for anything in this world. You couldn't pay me any fee in the world for me to bring her back. I wouldn't do it. She's there with Dad, and she's there with the kids, but more importantly, she's there with Jesus. You know, I picture something. I can never describe it. I've tried to describe it before, But I can picture when we have a temptation in our life and we have a hurt in our life, we have a trouble in our life, and we come to through it victorious because of God's help, of Jesus leaning on a column of heaven and looking down at us and clapping his hands, saying, good job, servant, good job. And I think he did that to Rodney more than once. I hate it for you. I really do. I don't know how you feel. Nobody does. Wait a minute, preacher. We've lost our husband too. But you're different than her. You had a different relationship. Doesn't mean whether it's closer or not as close. You had a different relationship. So you don't feel everything she feels like she feels it. And you girls the same way. But God knows. He knows how to take that hand out of heaven and reach down and touch your heart and speak peace that is beyond understanding. The peace of God is beyond understanding. How can I feel so calm about this? Because God comes down and speaks peace to your heart. I hope you'll let him. If anything else this service is for, I sincerely hope you'll let him. If you're not a believer, and you say, I want to see him, but I want to have the assurance of heaven too. I hope when I pray in a moment that you will say, Lord Jesus, I trust you and believe you to take away my sin. I rarely ever do this in a funeral. Preached hundreds of them in 45 years of ministry. And that is to ask you to accept him. I should have probably many times. There's no time, I don't suppose, and a heart is more tender than now to the voice of God. And if you're not ready to go to heaven, I hope you will be before you walk out of these doors. That's my prayer. Let me pray. Our Father, I thank you for these people and this time that we've had together. I thank you for the love and graciousness that you've shown us and the ability to simply share our heart as to what you wanted us to say. It may have not been earth-shattering, but it's the truth. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would bless these people. May they feel a presence of the Holy Spirit about them. And if they need the Savior, help them to accept him. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read, by the way, the songs that were sung were Rodney's favorite. Is that not what you told me? The scripture I'm going to read to you is his favorite scripture out of the NIV. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent and humble, accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror, and after they look them looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whosoever look intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting they that heard and doing it, but will be blessed to do so. Those who consider themselves religious and yet not keep the tight rein on the tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God the Father accept and pure and faultless is this: look at the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep oneself from the being polluted by the world. What a scripture. Support people, encourage people. There's several people that would like to say something. We have a microphone down here in the front. I want to give you the option to come quickly. The first one, whoever, I can read the names if you want me to. I don't know if you want me to do that or not. No, just anybody that would like to come and say something about Rodney, some interaction you had with him, I want you to come quickly now, please. Stay close to, real close to the mic.
First of all, I'd just like the Lord to come into this building and just fill us all with peace. You can't hear? Just fill us with peace and give us understanding, knowing the joy that Rodney has now. May we feel that joy also. Now, Rodney, I didn't know him that long. I met him down at the Morrison building. I think Mr. Roush introduced me to him one time, and he just showed him and said, he goes fishing with me. I said, oh, yeah? What kind of fishing? He says, oh, we go out and we snag the fish. We snag the tilapia, and we're like this all day. And I'm like, I'm going back over here. I'm going golfing with these other guys. But then several years ago that Rodney and Anita and Brenda and I, we bought trailers up here. So Rodney and I become pretty close. He was three doors down. So we started to go fishing, and we had a boat, and we did this. He would tell me the biggest thing that I respected about Rodney was he just told me like it was. And I turned around and told him like it was, and we just smiled at each other and say, yeah, he ain't right. But we giggle and we become great friends, and I enjoyed his company tremendously. But the biggest thing that I remember about Rodney is that he was a servant. And I just read something today in the Bible, and it says, serving others is serving God, whether it's neighbors, neighborhoods, families, churches, or the world. Rodney was always trying to serve something. He would come and tell me, hey, we're going down here. And I said, what am I doing? He said, we're going to go pick up concrete. And I'm like, okay. So we'd go and smile, and then I'd grunt all the way back home or whatever. And just serving with him was great fun. And then we just started going fishing, you know. We had the boat and things of that sort. So it was just, I just couldn't get over the way the man served. He would go help somebody and ask. He never asked if, you know, what are you doing? I'm going up here. Oh, well, okay. I'll come too. But he'd always smile, and serving God, serving other people and stuff like that, that's where we all belong to God. So Rodney was serving God.
Yes.
So he's resting in home, and I just enjoyed his company. I'll miss him, but I am going to work myself into there so someday I will just go up and I'll walk over to the Crystal Sea and say, you got that 10-pounder yet? He said, yeah. And he'll probably say, every day. You know, and that was it. So I don't know. And then I read a scripture. I was just reading through the Bible, and this reminds me of Rodney, and then somebody else can talk. It's 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. My friend, Rodney.
Amen. Bless you. Someone else. I know you don't have a voice like Dr. Lee, but I need you to stay really close to the mic, right at the bottom of your chin.
I know I speak for the family and welcome each and every one of you, those that knew Rodney, those that didn't know Rodney. And the ones that didn't know Rodney, that's your tough luck. I had to write this down because I don't know if I'm going to get through it. It's an honor to speak today to the family and to friends. I wish I was prepared for this. I'm not. I have no scripture, songs, poems, wisdom, advice. Most of us here have experienced the loss of loved ones. All I am today is sad. We're all sad. I know I'm not alone. We are sad because we want him back. We love him. We miss him. The question today is this: would we deny him the glory of God? I think not. He has run the race. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, has called him home to be with him. Rodney was a servant. He was everywhere. Worked tirelessly for this camp. He brought laughter to those who needed it, prayer for many, had a quick wit, an enduring smile. Always saw the best in people. I was honored to call him my friend and my brother. He was my fishing buddy. He filled the boat with love, joy, laughter. Sometimes he would sing. Sometimes he would just dance on the boat. He loved God's creation, especially the water. So what can we do who remain? Well, Rodney would tell you to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Seek him while you still can. This life is fleeting. Do not be sad, my brothers and sisters. We shall see him again.
Yes.
Our sweet dear Rodney is walking the streets of gold, holding hands with Jesus.
Yes. Bless you, brother. Someone else? Bless you, Diane. Real close.
Just want to say I'm thankful to have had the opportunity to know Rodney. I'm thankful for all the memories that he's given. And one thing I know 100% for sure is he lived a Christian life. He was a prime example of a Christian. He always loved his neighbor. You know, the Bible tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and he did that 100%. And it makes me think of the scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. just a few words here. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love." So Rodney knew God. Thank you.
Yes. Someone else? Real close now. They won't hear you.
When I came into the house, there was a note on the refrigerator that I felt like reflected everything that Rodney was about, mostly about what he was to Anita. I just want to read the note. "Whoever knew that love could be so true? Me loving you and you loving me. Loving everything that we do together, and Valentine's Day is just another way to say that I love you." He wrote that for Anita on February 14 of 2024. And that reflects everything that he felt about Anita. We just wanted you all to know that it's just special.
Bless you. Terry? Oh, she's coming. Hang on a second. Sorry.
There are not enough words strong enough to describe the man my brother was, or to express what he meant to each and all of us who were fortunate enough to be blessed by him. I don't even think I have to say this, but please honor the man he was and take a little bit of Rodney Walker with you every day and share him with anyone who may need him. Mom said his to-do list is done, but his work here, it's not. And I just want you to sprinkle a little bit of Rodney around everywhere you go. And we could just do that for us and for him.
My name is Terry Lindsay. My wife Barbie and I were friends with Anita and Rodney. I want to first offer my sympathy and compassion for Anita, Stacy, Corey, Todd, Danny, all the kids and grandkids. As we experience our earthly life, all of us go through these stages. One of the stages is birth. The baby is born, has his entire life in front of it. Another one of these stages is death. This earthly life is over. The third stage is the one you and I experience right now. It's called today. We are not promised tomorrow. We know that from reading the word. So live today as you should. Do good. Love others.
Yes.
Do not let the day get away from you. Reminds me of Luke 12:16. This is a Jesus parable, and he's talking about the farmer, the rich farmer. the rich farmer had these fertile fields. And he says, wow, I got so much. I got too much. In fact, I think I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to bigger barns, and my soul will be well. I have much to worry about to the future. I have all my money and everything I need. I can rest and eat and drink. God says, you're coming home today, son. So you just don't know. You know, certainly Rodney's leaving was unexpected. You know, he, to me, was just a picture of health. What a great guy. What a marvelous man. His smile, his jaunty step, his comments. What a great guy. God sets times. When you plan, you plan if it's God's will. Do good. Express love. Love today. I want to read a little poem about my friend Rodney. And indeed, this is a celebration of Rodney, who he is, who he was. What a man. What a great guy. You know, it is awful sad today, but you can't think of Rodney and not smile. You know, him and my brother fishing and Terry fishing. What great times they had. Rodney enjoyed his life. How does the world's standards measure a man? Is it the size of his feet or the span of his hand? How tall is he when he stands alone? What work does he do? How big is his home? How much money does he have in the bank? Does he drive a car as big as a tank? Are his clothes fashionable, bright, and clean? Only in the most stylish clothes will he be seen. How handsome is he? And what achievements has he made? From all these things, the world judges if he had it made. The world's standards are so relative and constantly vary. The work you must perform are more than any man can carry. No, not by the standards of the world will Rodney be measured and judged. But by the Lord's standards he held, from which he did not budge. Rodney honored God both in word and in deed. From the influence of his old carnal nature, Rodney had been freed. The fruits of the Holy Spirit in Rodney's life you did see, because Rodney spent much time with God in prayer on his knees. Rodney lived to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, sometimes with words, but mostly showing by his behavior. To his friends and foes alike, he radiated calm, peace, and love. It was obvious that his strength came from God above. When Rodney prayed publicly, you knew he was talking to his trusted Father. Rodney knew no request of God would be a bother. Over the many years of a life that's all too short, Rodney loved very much his kids, and he cherished his wife. Enter Rodney, you faithful servant, the cry will be heard. Come into the presence of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, undeterred. For all your faithfulness on earth spent serving the Lord will beckon Rodney. Come and receive your eternal reward. Oh, dear brother Rodney, we will miss your presence and your smile. Yet we will not lose heart, for we will be together in a little while. Our Lord's everlasting loving kindness, we pray, to comfort our grief. Compared to heaven's eternity, earthly life is so very brief. We feel sadness, you are missed so much, but our faith will not faint, because we know in Psalms 116:15, it says this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
I don't want to cut anybody off. They actually asked me to have him the last one, but it doesn't matter. If you want to share something, we'll take enough time for you to do that. I thought you started to stand up. I apologize for that.
I don't know if I'll make it through this, but I'm going to try. I have a story to tell. Not really a scripture to read, but I've known Rodney since I was 15, 16 years old, and I held his children on my lap during church because I sat behind him. And then a few years later, I met my own husband and got married, and Rodney used to come to the farm and sit on my couch after he got off work of a morning. And my husband had just gotten home from work, and pretty soon one would put their leg up on one couch and the other one would put their leg up on the other couch, and pretty soon I had two men sleeping on my couches in my house. I left them alone and took care of my children. Pretty soon one would wake up and the other one would open their eye and look kinder around and say, well, let's go cut some wood, and that's what they did. One day they were out in the woods and Rodney cut a tree and he said, watch out, too late, and the tree came down and forked my husband. His chainsaw was still going, and Rodney went and cut him out of the tree. We had a lot of fun when we were on the farm. I've known Nita just a little short of the 50 years that I knew Rodney. We met gospel singings. Rodney's and Anita's children came, and I had watched them at the farm, and we had fun together. I was still just a kid, but I loved them. And Rodney and Anita, I've loved you forever. You've been the best of friends. When we needed you, you've come and found us. There was something that Rodney asked me at one time, and I'm not going to go into what it was, but he asked me one time what I would do, and I told him. And there was a news story that came out, and Rodney had to come find out if it was Doug. Do you remember that? Yeah. So Rodney was a good friend, and we loved him. He came, we live in Kentucky now, but where I met him and knew the family was in Michigan. That's where I was born and raised. I loved their family, and they loved us. And Rodney was good. He was a good friend. He came and spent a week with Doug when Doug was really sick. I lost my husband in 17. Rodney and Anita came from Michigan. They were there for almost a whole week. They were a big comfort. I just wanted to say that, well, there's a scripture, and I couldn't think where it was at, but the love of a brother, the love of a friend would lay down his life for the friend, and that's what he would have done for Doug, or I, or anybody else that's here. He loved everybody that he came across. My son-in-law read a scripture from 1 John earlier, and I was reading that on the plane on our way down here yesterday, and it says there that we are to love one another as God loved us, and God does love us, every one of us, and he wants us as his own.
Anybody else? While he comes, let me tell you, as soon as the service is over, you're invited over to the cafeteria, the Lakeland Highland Church of Christ and the Florida Holiness Campground, providing refreshments. Thank desserts. Go right ahead, sir. Stay close to the mic, please.
Just wanted to share, we were privileged to have Rodney and Anita worship with us for many years at Highlands Church of Christ, and always look forward to the fall when you folks would come down and be with us. And if we ever had a work day at church, had one not long ago, and Rodney was there working along with all of us, and always we're going to miss him terribly, and hope we still see you, but we'll remember him and his service and his commitment to the Lord always.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, a lot of tributes been shared about a man who's in heaven now, and we can talk very positively about that because we know heaven is real. It's real. It's beautiful. It's resplendent. Reunion. Let me have a closing prayer, and I'm going to pray for the food. So as soon as you go over, you can, if they've got it ready, and I'm sure they do, you can go ahead and take it. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this celebration today. We know there are sorrowful hearts here concerning this death of this good man. And yet, Lord, we know that he's in the arms of Jesus right now. We're grateful for that. Bless his wife and his children and his family, all of them, Father. May they feel a presence of the Holy Spirit about them. And may the days that lie ahead be days of remembrance of the good things that he's done and has been. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And for his sake we pray. And everybody said, amen. You're dismissed to the lunchroom right across the hall.